Right on. Excellent job. Thank you. Did you enjoy that? Well played. Well played.
We get the symbol.
I'll do you one better. All right. Boom. How you like me now? That's how I roll. I didn't even know y'all were going to do that. Didn't even know it. I didn't. I swear I didn't. I bought these to look cool. Y'all going to wear them the entire thing?
Well, yeah, I am.
Whatever. Y'all be sleeping, what'll be happening. Y'all be falling asleep. It'd be what's going on. Brother Everett, Miss Joyce, you guys look awesome. Do me a favor. After the service is over, would you take a handful of those? One of you stand over there, one of you stand over there. Miss Pam, we'll take a part of that, and we'll make sure everybody gets one. What I've done is we have put all of the main points of this series on a bookmarker. For couple and for chair, we want you to go home with that today, all right? All right, man, I've been waiting for this particular message today. I like it. I think it's pretty good. Ephesians chapter 5:33 is kind of the bedrock verse that we've been using throughout this entire series on hope for the home, and this will be the last sermon in this series. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. We spent 2 weeks talking. Do we have Kingdom Kids today? Am I missing something? Okay, very good. I get in trouble. We learned that women were made and expect, and they need love. We've also learned that men need, were made for, and expect respect. That is a part of who they are. That is how God made them. Hate the game, don't hate the player was kind of what we've been going on. And what happens is when the man doesn't receive respect, he doesn't show love. And when the woman doesn't feel love, she doesn't show respect. And so we're on a crazy cycle that never seems to stop. When he doesn't show love, she responds out of disrespect. When she responds out of disrespect, he responds out of doesn't show love. And so it's a crazy thing. I spent 2 weeks talking about the blue version of this particular message by sharing six ways for the man to motivate his wife to show him respect. He is to show her, and the word we used was couple. We said, men, we must be close to our wife, open to our wife, understanding to our wife. We're to be peacemakers, and we're to be loyal, and we're to be show her esteem. Well, today we're going to introduce the six parts that the woman can do to motivate her husband to show her love. And we're going to be talking about not couple, but we're going to be talking about the word chair. Today, we want to end this series with the pink version of the Breaking the Crazy Cycle with six steps wives can motivate their husband to show them love. Our acronym today will be the word chairs. Ladies, would you say chairs with me?
Chair.
Chair stands for this. It stands for conquest. It stands for hierarchy. It stands for authority. It stands for insight. And it stands for relationships. And it stands for sexuality. These are the six things that you can do as a lady to motivate your man to show you the kind of love that you want, need, and expect. And just like couple, this word chair, this is not a one and done thing. This is an ongoing behavior. This is a changing in thinking, a changing in the way you act, a changing in the way you think. And for some of these things, I believe that there are two or three just aha moments in this particular message. But I do want you to know that this isn't something you do for a week. This isn't something you do for 2 weeks. This isn't something you do for a month. This is something that you do for a very, very long time. And it will change the dynamic of your marriage. And I will say this, it will be the mature lady who will consider doing these things, whether she feels like them or not. Just because you do something that you don't feel like doing, it doesn't make you a hypocrite. How many of you are going to get up on Monday morning and go to work and you don't feel like it? Doesn't mean you're a hypocrite. It means you're mature, okay? And ladies, you may not feel like doing these things, just like the men may not feel like doing the couple acronym. But he will do it because he is mature. You will do these things, not because you feel like it, but because you are mature and because you're an adult. And the person who is the most mature in the relationship will do these things. Doesn't make you a hypocrite. It means you're mature. So let's just dig right in. The word conquest. Everybody say conquest. Conquest. He has a need to have appreciation. Yeah, appreciate his desire to work and to achieve. Ladies, this is your message, okay? I'm telling you things about your men. They have a desire to work and to achieve. And when you hear the word conquest, it's medieval. It almost sounds Dark Ages, that when we think of conquest, we think that a man is going to conquest a woman emotionally and physically and sexually. But that is not the word, and that is not how I'm using the word conquest, not by a long stretch. There is a natural inborn desire of the man to go out and to conquer the world. He wants to achieve, and he wants to progress, and he wants to go up the corporate ladder. There is something that God has placed within him that makes conquest an essential part of whom he is. God made him with with a desire to work. God made him with a desire to achieve. God made him with a desire to conquer his world, if you will. I saw this verse in Genesis chapter 3, and I didn't think Adam went to work until after the fall. I thought there was just handouts going on in the Garden of Eden. But I saw this verse, and it kind of made me change a little bit about the way I think about things. Adam was working in the garden before Eve showed up. He was working in the garden before the sin, before the fall. He was working in the garden. God placed this perfect man in the Garden of Eden with a desire to work, with a need to work, to conquest, to conquer, if you will. The Bible says this: the Lord God made the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? Before sin, before Eve showed up, way before the apple or the pomegranate tree, way before any of that, Adam was working in the garden. It was a good thing. And that's the way God made Adam, with a desire, with a propensity, with a proclivity to work. Your man has that same desire. Your man has that same need to work and to achieve and to progress in his work. It's ingrained in his masculinity. Consider this. Oh, this is cool. No offense needed. I don't mean any offense with this. Ladies, most of you have a choice. You have a choice to stay home and raise children, or you can go to the workforce. Ladies, is that fair? Most of you have a choice. Men, here's our choices. We either go to work or we go to jail. All right? We don't really have that. And I'm not saying that's bad or good. I'm just saying that's the way it is. Men, I sound like my kids when they were young. That's who we are. And once again, don't hate the player. Hate the game. This is how God created you. This is how God made you. And a man instinctively knows that there is a need to go out into the field to perform well, to provide for his family, on behalf of his family. Ladies, your man values two things even more than he values love. And I'm speaking perhaps anecdotally. Your man values two things even more than he honors your love. He honors your respect, and he values your honor. He values your respect, and he values your honor. In fact, your husband does not spell love, L-O-V-E. He spells love, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. You don't even spell the word the same. And God has placed within him this desire to conquest, to take care of his family. Ladies, I'm encouraging you, show respect for your man's work. Show appreciation for your man's work. Telling him thank you. And many women have never done this. Thank you, honey, for going to work. Thank you, honey, for taking care of the family. Thank you for doing this for us. And I promise you, tell him thank you for going to work at the end of this week, or maybe thanking today for the work you did last week. You will freak out with the way your man responds. You will be shocked. Because here's the thing, men identify themselves. Men identify their identity with what they do. Allow me to prove it to you. Two women get together, you know what the first thing they start talking about? They start talking about their kids and their family. You get two men coming together, the first thing out of their mouth is, what do you do? That's how we identify with who we are. That's how we. That is our identity. It's wrapped up with who we are as a man. And here's the thing. That's okay, because God created men to do something, to conquest, to go out and to work. And ladies, if you don't understand that part of the identity of your man, you need to understand something. You're going into this fight already with one hand tied behind your back, because this is how the man identifies himself. And if you don't ever affirm that, respect that, or honor that, the odds are against you. Ladies, have you ever said, honey, thank you for going to work? Some of you may have done that in the fight. I can't wait till you go to work. that's not really what I'm looking for. Have you ever thanked him for that? And let me put this into perspective for you. Ladies, how would you feel if your husband thought about telling you that he loves you, but he never told you that he loved you? Many of you would say, well, I'd never stay with a man like that. And many of you may have thought about telling your husband, thank you for the hours that he spends at work, but you've never told him that. Your husband would feel the same way as if you would if your husband never told you that he loved you. Because the man identifies with what he does, who he is. It makes up his masculinity. That's where your man's situation spells love, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Always make him feel appreciated for his work. Always make him feel appreciated for his effort in the field. And be mindful of the sunglasses and the hearing aid situation. He communicates and receives things differently because he has blue sunglasses on and blue hearing aids. You have pink sunglasses on and pink hearing aids. Be sure that you're aware of that fact whenever you share thank you. I've heard at least four men say this in my ministry. My wife loves me, but she doesn't like me. All I am to her is a meal ticket. And I understood what he was saying. She just wants my paycheck. If that is the way your man feels, ma'am, you've dropped the ball somewhere. He needs to feel that you appreciate what he is doing in the field and what he is doing as far as work. Let him know you admire him. Let him know that you support him. And your husband will feel you appreciate his desire to work and achieve when you tell him either verbally or by writing that you value his work efforts. Number two, that you express your faith in him related to his chosen field. Number three, you listen to his work stories the way you expect him to listen to your stories. Next, he will appreciate your desire that you appreciate what he does when you see yourself as his helpmate or his counterpart in this life. Next, don't dishonor or criticize his work to get him to show more love at home. All right, one down, five to go. Conquest. Ladies, have you learned anything yet? Okay. Hierarchy. Say hierarchy with me.
Hierarchy.
These are things that you do to motivate your husband to show you love. You need to understand how he ticks. Because when he feels respected, he will show you love. And when you feel love, you will show him respect. I'm giving you things to motivate him to show you love. Hierarchy. Appreciate his desire and to protect and provide. Just as God made your man with a desire to work, he has also divinely given him a proclivity to protect and provide for his family and to die for them if he would be called to do so. An example of this is life insurance. There are billions and billions of dollars spent every year on life insurance. Guess which gender holds the most life insurance on them, male or female? Males. You know why? Because we have a desire in us that even if we're dead, we want to make sure that our family is provided for and taken care of. And that's okay. That's the way God made us. He made us with this desire to provide and to protect for our family. Some ladies will roll their eyes when I say the word hierarchy because they wrongly believe that this implies that their man is the boss, that their man is superior. When I say the word hierarchy, that is really not what the Bible is speaking of. I think that rolling of the eyes is because of two things. Number one, women will misunderstand the word hierarchy and men will incorrectly use that word. So there's fault on both ends on that. Some ladies will overreact because there are some abusing men out there. And oftentimes when women get the idea that, oh, he's my boss or he's over me or I'm under him, they will get contempt for their husband on those lines and they'll act out harshly with criticism, with insults, because there's no way that man will be over me. The biblical view of hierarchy isn't understood by most women and it's understood incorrectly by most men. Ephesians 5, 22 through 27. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body. of which he is a Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Submit is a compound word in the original language. Heck, it's a compound word in the English. But it means this. It means a rank under or a position under. A rank under or a position under. And that is what the word submit means. It is not carte blanche label for being superior. God is giving, in this verse, men a tremendous amount of responsibility. Men, say responsibility. God is giving you a tremendous amount of responsibility in this verse. You didn't ask for it. You didn't volunteer for it. You didn't think, hey God, it'd be a great idea if you put this in your word. We didn't ask for this, but God has given it to us, Tim. God has given us this job. This is the position that He's placed us in. We didn't volunteer for it, we didn't ask for it, but God has given it to us. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Church, the man is called to see his duty to his wife is to protect her, to cover her for safety, to make sure that her needs are met, to make sure that she gets what is going to help her. This is the man's job. He is placed in a position to bring his wife and his family underneath his protection, underneath his covering, underneath his provision. The man understands that. He has a job to do. He has a job to do as the head of the family. And the man is called to do that. The man is called to protect his wife, a covering of safety, a hedge of protection. And at the same time, men are called to provide an umbrella of protection and provision for their wife. The woman is called to be underneath that provision and covering for his wife. That's what that means. He is called to put out his arms, and the wife is called to be underneath his arms. Biblical hierarchy isn't male superiority for the sake of putting the wife down, but for the man to place himself in a position where he can be a covering underneath his wife, to be a blessing over his wife. God has placed it in your man to be the head or the chair of the relationship. That's the way God has planned it out. And what will deflate your man's spirit is this: when you begin to criticize his position of protection or provision for his family. Was walking through a home with a couple. We went to their McMansion, you know, and they're showing off everything. And Pam and I are there. We're with another couple down south. And, you know, we had small homes, very humble homes. And when we're walking through this glorious, it's a mansion to me. They're showing off everything. And the couple we're with, and we were good friends, still good friends with them. But as they're showing off this house that we're walking through, the couple that we're with, the woman told her husband, you got to get a second job. You could literally see his spirit deflate. Didn't talk the rest of the night. But what she did, Chris, is she criticized the hierarchy. She criticized the area of provision and protection. Now here's the thing. Don't hate your man because he feels that way. That is exactly how God made him. He didn't ask for it. This is how God set it up. And if you do have a problem with that, yeah, say it. If you have a problem with that, your problem is not with your man. Your problem is with God. It's not with your husband. It's with the one who designed it that way. You feel me? Your husband takes his calling as a provider and protector seriously, as well as the need for respect. Ladies, you may want to learn this thought, and this is powerful. Learn this thought. Remember I taught the men, honey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Will you forgive me? Let me give you something to download into your cognitive process. Ask yourself before you say anything, is what I'm about to say or about to do going to be taken as respectful or disrespectful? About what I'm about to say or do, will it be seen as respectful or disrespectful? Your husband will feel you appreciate his desire to protect and provide when you tell him you admire him for protecting you and being willing to die for you. He will feel like you appreciate his desire to protect and provide when you never mock the idea of looking up to him as your protector or prevent him from looking down on you. Hey, your man has been put in your life to protect you and to provide. That's his job. Don't make him feel bad about it. Thirdly, ladies, I think if you do this, you will blow your man's mind. Write him a note. Tell him how much you appreciate and you thank him for the things that he's doing, going to work, providing protection for your family. And at the end, you know how you usually write with all my love? Put with all my respect. And then you put your name. Or, I respect you, instead of love. You will blow his mind. But it may be the very first time in your relationship that you've ever spoken his language. Conquest. Hierarchy. Authority. Authority is when you appreciate his desire to serve and to lead. The Christian couple's view of authority in the home is not answered by Dr. Phil. It is not answered by Gail. It is not answered by Ellen DeGeneres. It is not answered by psychologists. The Christian couple's view of authority in the home is always going to be answered by God and the Word of God. It'll never be answered by the media or pop culture or culture. The Christian view of authority in the home is answered by God. We've already seen what Scripture says about the husband's role as the head, and the wife is underneath his protection and provision. If we know what the Bible says about roles in our marriage, in our homes, then our problem is not with each other. We have a problem with God. God created marriage to have someone in charge. God created marriage for somebody to be in the head chair. That's the way He created it. That's the way he rolled it out. In order for things to work in the marriage, the wife is called upon to, at times, defer to her husband. When love and respect are fully operating and they're fully trusting in the Lord's order of the home, Titus 2:5 says this, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the Word of God. When you follow the lead of your husband, you're trusting in God, saying, hey, God, you put him as my husband, which means I know his authority in the home. It means I know his position in the home. And I'm going to trust what you said about this family, and I'm going to trust his authority. I will defer to him. I will be underneath his hedge of protection and provision. I believe a reason why so many marriages struggle is because both couples in the marriage see themselves as the head of the home. And I'm here to tell you, anything with two heads is a freak. And when both of them are vying for the head position of the home, you are spelling failure. Now, Oprah may tell you that. Ellen may tell you that. Dr. Phil may tell you that. But the Word of God will never tell you that. And as a Christian couple, our view of the authority of the home is not built upon what NBC, ABC says, but what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, man, step up, because this is the responsibility that you've been given. And men, you may say, well, I didn't ask for it. That's okay. God didn't ask whether you wanted it or not.
Preach.
He gave it to you. And men, if you're going to step up, then ladies, understand that there is a position there for you too. Even if there is a stalemate or a disagreement arises, ladies, respect him in spite of the fact of the unresolved issue. Ladies, I'm not telling you to bury your brains or become a doormat to be submissive to the leadership of your husband. In fact, if your husband tells you to do something that is contrary to the Word of God, listen to me on this. Don't listen to your husband. You listen to the Word of God. You always honor God first, then your old man. That's just Bible, and I'm assuming y'all are smart enough, and I've got to unpack that for you. Here's a principle. Go on record with your husband and say, hey, baby, you're going to have 51% of authority, and you're also going to have 51% of the responsibility. And what happens most of the time, the woman will say, hey, buddy, you're responsible for what goes on around here, but you and I are equals, and if you don't do what I say goes, then it's your fault. Man, you can't give somebody all the responsibility and then no authority. You can't give somebody responsibility without giving the authority to change things. He won't, and here's the thing, I think a true man of God, if this is working in the marriage, he's not going to be your boss. If a true man of God is following this, and a true woman of God are following this, he won't try to be your boss. In fact, you'll most likely get your way, ladies, far more if I believe this with all my heart, and I'm going to show it to you in Scripture why I believe that. I think oftentimes when you realize the position of the man, the position that you have as a lady in the marriage, you won't have to stand up for your rights near as often as what you think you do. Because he will bend over backwards to please you. Look at what the Word of God says. This is crazy. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the Word, they may be won over without what? You don't have to preach at him. You don't have to lecture him. You don't have to be cynical and judgmental towards him. In fact, the Word of God says, chill. He'll be won over by your behavior. And when the man sees that, you will melt his heart. And if you're in a conflict and you remain respectful and quiet, and when I say respectful and quiet, don't go over in a corner and pout, you know, and stonewall him until you get your way. That's not really what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is, maybe there's a disagreement that's unresolved, but you've behaved respectfully. What's going to happen is this. Miss Pam asked me yesterday, you're not going to tell him anything about us, are you? And I said, I don't think so. It's not in the notes. But when Miss Pam gets quiet on me, Chris, honey, what's wrong? What did I do? And by her not preaching and by not being a witch, she actually draws me to her like a magnet. Men, are you with me? Because I want her to be happy. She didn't have to preach or lecture. She didn't say a word. And she changed me with her behavior. Ladies, think about this. Refusal to submit to or respect your husband is a refusal to trust in God. He's told you to respect him. And to refuse is to tell God no. All right, he will feel you appreciate his authority and leadership when you tell him you're thankful for his strength and enjoy being able to lean on him at times. He'll feel appreciated for his authority and leadership when you never say, you're responsible, but we're still equal, so don't make a decision I don't agree with. There's this cool little joke. There's this man and woman who've been married for 40 years, and somebody said, well, how come you've been so successfully married for 40 years? The woman said, well, we decided 40 years ago when we got married that if there's any major decisions, he would make them, and I'd make all the rest. And thank God we've never had to make a major decision in 40 years. Don't know why I thought of that, but there it was. All right. You praise his good decisions, and here's the big one. You praise his good decisions, and you're gracious with his bad ones. Because they're not all home runs. You disagree with him only in private, and you honor his authority in front of your kids. Remember a couple weeks ago when I said, don't ever badmouth your wife in front of your kids? Ladies, that goes the same for you too. Show respect to your husband in front of the kids. You give your reasons for disagreeing quietly and reasonably, but you never attack his right to lead. Going back to that. All right, let's go on. Insight. Say insight.
Insight.
We went through conquest, hierarchy, authority. Now we're talking about insight. And by the way, these last three points are my personal favorites in this message. Appreciate his desire to analyze and to counsel. Sadly, I see far too many wives and I hear far too many wives who do not think their husbands have any ideas worthy of consideration. For years, I've preached about women's intuition. For years. And I think I have unfairly tipped the scale on this, and maybe lots of other pastors have. I can only speak for myself. But for years, I've preached this to the men. Listen to what your wife says. God will speak to you through your wife. Respect her intuition. And I've done that. And for many times, I think I've had that scale out, and I've kind of put my thumb on it, because I want the men to respect their wives, and I want the men to listen to their wives. And we say that because, men, God will speak to you through your wife. But God will speak to you through your wife, because here's the thing, you've got blind spots. You don't always see the whole picture. She sees things differently than you. And yes, ladies, you have intuition, and there's no way around that. You have a certain way of understanding things and knowing things before it happens, and I don't know how you guys are wired. I don't know. I wish I did, I don't, but you guys can call things out 6 months, you know, and when it happens to us guys, well, I didn't see that coming. She did. I get that, man. I respect that. But let me go a little bit further on that, because lots of times I'd stop the sermon there. Boop. Yes, ladies, you have intuition. And your men should pay attention to you. And your men should listen to you. But let me tell you something else. You may have intuition, but ma'am, your husband also has insight. He's operating with a whole other set of glasses than you are. He's listening with a whole other set of hearing aids as you are. You may have intuition, but he's not stupid. And just as he's got blind spots, ladies, you've got blind spots. You have intuition, but you need the insight of your husband. Proverbs 3:7. The reason I tell you this is here in Proverbs. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Ladies, you may have answers, but you don't have all the answers. You may have ideas, but it's not the only idea. You may have something going on that's awesome, but it doesn't mean it's the be-all and end-all. And I'll let you know why... They're going to take my man card. I'll let you know why many of your men will stonewall you. If they say something, they're in trouble. If they don't say something, they're in trouble. But if you don't say anything, you're in less trouble. So we don't say anything. I colored my beard and it ate my skin up. And I'm itching. It's the price we pay for vanity, all right? Gosh, dang it. I want to scratch it so bad. So instead of saying anything, we shut up and brick by brick we'll build our wall. Ladies, you don't have all the answers and you don't have to do all the thinking, nor should you. Oh, I'm going to freak me out. Some of y'all going to be mad at me. I love you. Love me. I'm about to blow with a smackdown on you, all right? In love. I didn't know this verse was in the Bible. And Adam was not the one deceived, but it was Eve. It was Eve who was deceived and became as a sinner. Preach, why'd you just read that? I could have went all day without hearing that particular verse. Follow me. Y'all are smart ladies. Eve thought she knew the right thing to do. Guess what? She didn't. And guess who she convinced was the right? Guess who she convinced that it was the right decision? Her man. How many of y'all knew that was in the Bible? Two of you? Not every decision, not every choice, not every thinking, not every thought, not every cognitive process, ladies, you have is correct. Just as you know, it's not with the men. But not everything you think is right. And here's the thing. You've got this incredible mojo power to make us men think that you're right. And you're not. I'm not even sure this is in the notes. I'm sorry. I'm going to return to them. Genesis 3:17. To Adam, he said... To Adam said, Adam, I'm kicking you out of here because you listen to your wife. Daggum. Adam knew better. Adam knew that that wasn't a good idea to go to that tree. You know, God said, let's not do it. But it is. Ladies, stop trying to be the Holy Spirit to your husband. Ladies, stop trying to be the Holy Spirit to your husband. There is not a vacancy in the Trinity that you need to fulfill for him. Let the Holy Spirit convict him. Let the Holy Spirit deal with him. Let the Holy Spirit... You don't have to do that. And I believe that Eve's problem towards Adam has been passed down to her daughters. If Adam would have listened to the Holy Spirit instead of his wife, the story may have been different. And because you do so much... Oh, this is true. Because you do so much in the home, raising kids and on and on and on, you can tend to slip into an attitude of self-righteousness without realizing it. Without knowing it, you become critical, you become judgmental, and there's a critical and a judgmental spirit that will fall upon you and over you. Self-righteousness can deceive you more than any other sin, because if you see yourself as better than your husband, you'll pull away from him physically, emotionally. You'll draw away from him. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm more intelligent than you. And you begin to push yourself in the head, in the chair position. Why would your husband? Why would your husband give his opinion or his insight or his counsel or his ideas or his thoughts when you already know it all? Your husband will feel you appreciate his insight and counsel when y'all quiet today. All right. Your husband will feel you appreciate his insights and counsel when, number one, you tell him up front, you just need his ear. Don't complain to him later that he always tries to fix you. Secondly, you thank him for his advice without acting insulted or like he doesn't care about your feelings. Next, you recognize his problem-solving approach as his male brand of empathy. Next, you counsel him respectfully when you differ with his ideas. This is the one thing I know, and you can be right, but you're wrong when you're screaming at the top of your lungs. You can be right, but you're wrong when you're screaming it. Not with my wife. I've seen it with other people. You let him know that you believe God has made us male and female for a purpose and that you both need each other. And lastly, you admit you can sin and you thank him for his perception and godly counsel. Number five, relationships. These are actually my two favorite. We've talked about conquest. We've talked about hierarchy, authority, insight. Now we're going to talk about relationship. Miss Pam and I did talk about this on our way home yesterday from Fairview Heights. Relationship. He has a desire for friendship. Ladies, your man doesn't have to hear you talking all the time. He doesn't always have to hear your ideas, debating, interjecting with him. Most of the time, he's just happy for you to be sitting beside him. And I'm going to tell you, this will be an aha moment for some of you. Men communicate by sharing an experience. A few weeks ago, I told you that I can go jugging with some dudes. And we don't say 50 words all night long. And that's cool. In fact, we'd just as soon each other shut up. And when we get home, we've had a great time. We didn't talk, but we shared the experience. We shared the activity together. Chris, you understand. Now, when you ladies go shopping, I'm assuming all you do is talk and shop. And that's cool. That's how God made you. But when we get together with dudes, we don't talk about our feelings, all right? We don't talk about how our emotions are playing with us. We don't. We don't talk about how Rick feels about us at work. We don't. We hang together. That's what we do. That's how we roll. We don't talk about our feelings. We don't talk about things at all. You see, with a woman, a relationship is face to face. With a man, it's shoulder to shoulder. And women got to have that face to face. That's cool. That's the way God made you. But with us men, man, we don't got to have face to face. Just as long as you're running jugs with me, beside me in my boat, we cool. Ladies, when your husband asks you to come to the living room to watch TV, you don't got to talk. Sit in the chair. In fact, we'd rather you just not talk.
And to us, that's just as meaningful. That means something to us men. Men, am I right on this? It's just we want you there. That's the way. And here's the thing. You don't have to like it. I'm just telling you how it is. We just want that friendship. And that friendship we have with our partners, we're not talking, we're hanging. And when your husband asks you to come to the front room, or hey, let's go, you know, let's go camping. Just be there. You don't even have to like it. Just want you there. Well, I don't know why I got to come in there. You never talk when I do. You get it? That's the way we roll. That's how we are. You see the aha moment? It doesn't mean we're being rude. We're having a good time. Well, I don't like to do that. My wife doesn't talk that way, but that's. I don't like to do that. When I sit down with you, I want to talk. I want to debate. I want to talk about the world. Okay. But I want you to notice something here in Scripture. I think it's in the book of Philippians. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. It's not all about you. Sometimes you do things you don't want to do. Y'all are getting it or you're mad, so whatever. All right. I'm getting through this sucker, so hold on. Your man's relationship and friendship with his partners have very... go for it, big boy. Your man's relationships and its friendships have very little negativity in them. We don't get together and complain. We don't. I'm sorry. They don't talk about emotions and feelings as they do things together. Men will just know that they're there for each other. Ladies, just try being there for your guy for a few months. You don't got to talk. Just be there with him. And your man will pick up what you're throwing down. And I promise you, he will eventually open up. He may not open up much, and it probably won't be what you like. But I'm encouraging you, just practice the ministry of presence for a little bit, and things will change. Your man will pick it up. Will you be energized by this, ladies? Nope, won't do a cotton-picking thing for you. But your man will think you're the best thing since sliced bread. I'll tell you how I saw this exemplified in my own life. Spent lots of summers up at my grandma and grandpa Fogerson's house. I think they were married for like 400, 500 years or something. But my grandpa Fogerson, he was 6'7", weighed about 400 pounds. And they called him Tiny, all right? And he ran Tiny's Auto Repair. It's there on 150 between Odin and Salem. And I go out there every summer, and I thought it was a great thing. I thought it was awesome. But this is what I remember seeing. My grandpa would be out underneath his car, and he'd always have these gray clothes on. He ran this auto shop just in the garage in his driveway. And every summer, they had this huge garden. The guy could grow, you know, anything. And him and my grandma, they did this together. And every summer, I would go out there, and Gramps would be underneath the car fixing it or bending over the hood. And my grandma would always be in her lawn chair smoking cigarettes, doing her crossword or smoking cigarettes and snapping beans, butter beans, green beans. And they didn't talk. But somehow, they connected. Because she got it. My man just wants me there. I think we're married for like 60 some odd years. But Grandma Fogerson got something. It may have seemed odd, but it worked. Ladies, your husband has need. Your husband has needs that you don't have. And that need is met in a way that may feel uncomfortable to you. But as with shoulder to shoulder, his fondness of you will grow inexplicably and your needs will be met there. All right, your husband's will feel you value his shoulder to shoulder friendship when you tell him you like him and you show it. Remember a few weeks ago I said, well, my wife loves me, but she doesn't like me. This is how you can remedy that. Just be with him. You respond to his invitation to engage in recreational activities together, or you come along just to watch. You know, if he asks you to go fishing, you may hate fishing. Just go, sit on the, you know, bring a lawn chair. get a book, bring your phone. You don't have to talk to him. He just wants you there. I know that sounds crazy to you. But men, am I right? Yeah, we just want you there. In fact, maybe we prefer you don't talk. You enable him to open up and talk to you as you do things shoulder to shoulder. Next, you encourage him to spend time. This is a good one. You encourage him to spend time alone, which energizes him. And when he spends that time alone, he's even that more happy to come see you when he gets home. Okay? Just speaking as a man. Been a man, been a dude my whole life. You know, sometimes I just want to be by myself. All right. Respect his shoulder to shoulder relationships with his guy friends to get him to spend. Respect his shoulder to shoulder friendships with his guy friends to get him to spend more face to face time with you. I'm usually probably a better husband when I come home from a night of jugging than if I wouldn't have went jugging. All right, sexuality. His desire for sexual intimacy. If there was ever an issue that isn't really an issue, if there was ever an issue that really wasn't an issue, it's got to be sex. In this area, here's what happens. She wants intimacy and affection. She wants intimacy and affection without the physical touch. Men tend to want the physical touch without the intimacy and affection. And this is what happens. It just kind of turns a crazy cycle again. And men and women struggle with this. And this is a two-way street. It's sex for him, and it is an affection for you. It's a two-way street. He wants the sexual attention. You want the emotional attention. And these are two different streets. And just as your husband should minister to your spirit to have your body, so too you should minister to his body if you want to gain access to his spirit. That's the two-way street. Look into 1 Corinthians 7, 3-4. The husband should fulfill his marital duty. Y'all say duty. Men, you've got a duty to your wife, and likewise, the wife to her husband. Men, you have a duty. Ladies, you have a duty as well. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him also alone, but also to his wife. Most wives think that the number one need in their man, the only thing he thinks about, is physical intimacy. But you need to understand something. Physical intimacy, the man sees physical intimacy with more than just, oh, we're going to have sex. Physical intimacy is attached to respect. Physical intimacy in the marriage is attached to respect for your husband. Let me explain this. A wife needs emotional release. And the wife receives emotional release through talking, through discussion, through closeness, through openness, through understanding. And when she gets that closeness and openness and understanding, and when she gets that talking going on with you, her need is met. She is emotionally released. And that's a good thing for her. That's what she's in this thing for. She wants the emotional release. And if you don't give it to her, there's problems. Men, we're not wired that way. We're not made to have that emotional release to be our primary goal. Our primary goal is a physical release. Our primary goal is for the physical aspect of sexual intimacy. And once that release is made, and by the way, this is the way we were made. That's the way we were created. A husband has a need for a physical release through sexual intimacy, and when a wife refuses, he takes that to mean that she doesn't care about him and does not respect him and his needs. Just when a man will not help you release emotionally with talking and closeness and openness and understanding, well, he doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me because he's not talking to me. Ladies, your men feel the same way about sex. He doesn't respect me and he doesn't care about me. Now, they may not be telling you this, but you look at me. Every one of them's doing this with their eyes. It's tied to respect for them. There are two aspects to understanding your husband's sexuality. This is an awesome verse. Song of Songs. Your two breasts are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle that become among the lilies. Do you know that this is a man saying this, of course? And there is not a feminine counterpart to this in the entire Bible. This is a dude saying this. Go a little bit further in the book of Proverbs, and this is awesome too. Let her be as the loving high and pleasant role, let her breast satisfy thee at all times. You can look through the entire Bible and you will not find a feminine counterpart. You won't find where it says, let his breast be satisfying to you at all times. You won't find that. You know why? God has wired your men to be visually oriented. That is who he is. That is how he is set up. The reason why those verses are not put in a feminine form is because most of you ladies are not wired to be physically oriented to the degree that your man is. But he is. He is wired to be visually oriented. And when it comes to sexual desire, he is to a degree that you are not. I'm going to give you proof. Ladies, when you get out of the shower, he's all eyes. He looks like a doe out in the woods. Men, when you get out of the shower, stay on the mat! Don't get, I just waxed that floor! Because you are not visually oriented to the degree that he is. We think getting you lingerie for your birthday is a great gift. You don't see it that way. Because we are visually oriented. I'm going to tell you who understood that. That was JC. I want you to look at this verse. But I say, anyone who at a woman with lust in his heart is doing what? What did he... Remember I told you that men are visually oriented? You know how many times he told this to women? None. Because Jesus understood that. Men, that's who you are. That is why those verses are in the Old Testament. That's why Jesus says, be careful with how you look. Because he knows that we're visually oriented. Ladies, this is a two-way street. I'm giving you two things to understand about your man's sexuality. He's visually oriented. He likes Victoria's Secret. He thinks you look great in him. That's the way God made him. Hate the game, not the player. Secondly, he needs sexual release the way you need emotional release. He needs sexual release the way you need emotional release. The Word of God says, do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterwards, you should come back together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. It has been said that the devil will do everything he can to get two people in bed before their marriage, but let me add something to this for you today. I believe the devil will do everything he can to keep the man and woman out of bed after their marriage. That's what I believe. When it comes to sexuality, both husband and wife need to meet each other's needs. Both have a job to do. The husband particularly can come under satanic attack when he's deprived of sexual release. And it's unfair when the wife says this, it's unfair for the woman to say, you better only have eyes for me. But yet, you will not give yourself to him physically. You understand what position you're putting in that? You understand what position you're putting that man in? Only have eyes for me. Well then, honey, let me see you. Now, men, I'm not telling you it's right to Google and awe and look at another woman with lust. I'm not saying that. Man, that's always wrong. Ladies, what I'm telling you is this. Help a brother out. My men are chicken to say amen, but in their spirit. Men, if you've appreciated this message, I want you to give me a $20 bill on your way out, all right? Slip it to me. Remember this fact, men, you have a need for sexual release just as a woman has a need for emotional release. And that's the way we're made. And if your husband didn't talk to you for daggummit. Told you this is my favorite point in the whole thing. If your husband didn't talk to you for 3 days, would you be upset? Most of you would. If your husband didn't speak with you for 3 weeks, would you be upset? What if he didn't speak to you for 3 months? Would you be upset? I would stay with that man. My wife's not slept with me for 3 days. My wife's not slept with me for 3 weeks. My wife's not slept with me for 3 months. But that's okay. Not really. That's the language he speaks. That's the way God made him. You were made to have an emotional release. He was made to have a physical release. That makes sense. Does it? It's in the notes. I can't do anything other than that's what I've got prepared. Can't change it. It's too late to change now. I'm almost done, Miss Pam. All right. Your husband was not asked to be made that way any more than you were asked to be made the way you are. We didn't ask to be made this way any more than you were made with the need to talk intimately on a regular basis. It's just who we are. Sex falls under the same category as everything else described in the components for him, couple, what he does for her. It falls under the same category on women, what you do for him. Your man's anatomy and his design is much different than yours. He needs sexual release as you need emotional release, and that's the way. That's why he loves the act of physical intimacy in and of itself. The act brings him satisfaction, and as a lady, you may feel that the two of you may have to fill and be close in order to be intimate. You think that you've got to have everything together emotionally before you can come together physically, but this is typically what happens. The woman thinks she's got to have all the emotional things right in order for the intimacy to happen. This is the way the man thinks. If we have intimacy, we'll have emotional. You put the emotional ahead of the physical, and your husband will put the physical ahead of the emotional. Meet me physically, and I'll meet you emotionally. And the woman said, no, 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 baby. You meet me emotionally first, then I'll meet you physically. Take another spin on the crazy cycle. As a lady, you may feel the two of you have to feel and be close in order to be intimate. For him, it's the reverse. The sexual act is what brings the two of you close. You as a wife may want to be close to your husband, and you can go a long way in making that happen with these two things. Number one, do your best to give him the sexual release he needs, even if on occasions you don't feel like you're in the mood. That's okay. He is. Secondly, let him know you're trying to understand his visual orientation and his temptation to lust with the look. He'll be less prone to do that if he can be less prone to be tempted if this point's taken seriously. If your husband is typical, he has needs you don't have, and when you shame and you punish and you deprive him, he feels dishonored in who he is, and that you don't respect his struggle, his desire for you, and his maleness. And this is what'll happen. You don't meet his physical need, and you refuse to help him sexually release. This is what will happen. He'll back away from you. He'll just remove himself from you. And remember how if we're in a disagreement and the woman backs away, she attracts him like a magnet? I don't know if we do that for you guys. But when your man begins to withdraw from you, I want you to ask yourself, you know, has it been 3 days, 3 months, 3 weeks? And it'll change things. In fact, I don't think there's any quicker way to deflate four tires on the crazy cycle than this one particular aspect of the CHAIR acronym. He will feel you appreciate his desire for sexual intimacy when, number one, you respond to him sexually more often and initiate sex periodically. Number two, you understand he needs sexual release just as you need emotional release. Number three, you let him know you understand his struggle is real, visual orientation, and so is the temptation he faces. Lastly, you don't try to make him open up to you verbally by depriving him sexually. Now, I sense this is in the room right now. Let me tell you something. Yes, I believe that this is the exact spot I should be preaching this. The Senate this week passed that in the Illinois Senate that in history class they're going to have to start teaching lesbians, gays, transgender, bisexual, and queer folks have brought into the history of America. They've got to have to start teaching that. If it gets passed by the House, it's already been housed, it's already been passed by the Senate. Y'all, I preach this today seriously because let me tell you something. What they're going to hear out there, they need to have a biblical understanding of what the Word of God talks about on sexuality and human relationships, because they're not going to get the truth at school. So, before you start slapping emails at me, I preach this point unapologetically, and I'll do it every day. The Lord lays this on my heart because I know what they're teaching in the world. I would much rather our kids go to school at least knowing what the Word of God says. And if you do send me an email, at least on the bottom put, "I respect you." Lord God, all right. Ladies, you've heard six ways you can help show respect to your main: conquest, hierarchy, authority, insight, relationship, sex. All of these work, and they're work, but a good marriage is worth the work. And you'll both probably find this statement true. I'm on my last page. It's easier for men to respect their wives than to love them, and it's easier for men for wives to love their husbands than to respect them. It's easier for men to respect their wives than to love them, and it's easier for women to love their husbands than to respect them. Giving your husband unconditional respect is a clear path to receiving unconditional love for yourself, but it's hard for most women to get that truth. I'd like to give you one exercise before Wednesday. It's called a respect test. Ladies, this is for you. I want you to spend some time thinking about some things you respect about your man. I want you to spend some time thinking about some things that you respect for your man. And at the right moment, I want you to go to him, and I want you to tell him these words. I don't want you to tell him when he's busy. I don't want you to tell him when he's reading. I don't want you to tell him when he's wrapped up in something. But I want you to say these words to your man after you've thought about it. What do I respect about him? "I was thinking about you today, honey, and several things about you that I respect, and I just want you to know, baby, I respect you." And then just touch him and walk away. He's going to run after you like the coyote to the roadrunner. I promise you. Men, you may pass out. But when you come to, this is what you're going to say: "What is it you respect about me, baby? What is it?" Because, honey, you may be speaking his language for the first time in your entire marriage. "You respect me for what?" And he's going to say it with a stupid look on his face: "What do you respect?" He's been waiting for that song for a long time. He'll break his neck to stop you saying, "What things?" And you'll tell him what you respect about him. That's how I said, think about it before you go to him, because this dude's going to jump out of that chair and he's going to say, "What is it?" You better have a list. Don't just say, "Oh, just things." Nah! What? Results and responses may vary. On the respect test, results and responses may vary on the respect test. But I want you to step out in faith and try it anyway, okay? Yeah, and that's not a one and done thing. You might want to do it a couple times, all right? He may not know how to. He's going to look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. Who are you? Ladies, you have been given double top secret insight into your man's heart, mind, and body, and soul this morning, all right? I've given you gold to understanding your man. And I don't share this with you to use it in a manipulative way. And by the way, you can take these things and mess with your man's mind. You can get him to jump through hoops with you with what I gave you today. Don't do that. I gave these to you so you'll know how to talk to your man. I gave these to you so you guys will get off that stupid, crazy cycle and get onto an energizing cycle in your marriage. Not to manipulate each other. I want you guys to, bury one another. I want you to stay out of divorce court. I want you to be happy. And Miss Pam and I, we're doing some of this stuff, and it works. It helps. Ladies, you've been given gold. When you give what he needs, you'll get what you need, and vice versa. Men, when you get what you need, you'll give what she needs. You know what I'm saying? The crazy cycle can be broken when somebody, the mature person, puts on the brakes. Ephesians 5:31-33. The scripture says, a man leaves his father and the mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Church, say two are united into one. It's a big mystery, but here's the thing. How he can make one out of two, I don't know. The answer isn't for men. The answer isn't for men to be more pink or women to be more blue. Men, you're a man, own it. Women, you're a woman, own it. That's who you are. This isn't what makes one of two. Men, you don't have to be like a woman to get along with your wife, and ladies, you don't have to act like a man to get along with your husband. Paul answers our question on how in verse 33. It's the love and respect connection. That verse right there that I just told you about, a man leaving his father and mother, how do you pull that off? It's down in verse 33, just a verse later. Love your wife, men. Love your wife. Ladies, respect your husband. That's how God makes one of two. That is the love-respect connection. That's how we get there. And sadly, many people don't. All right. I don't have time to finish this thing the way I wanted to. Ladies, I hope you're walking out of here something that maybe you didn't understand. Maybe you have a little bit better clarity today. And men, I spent 2 weeks with you. It's not because you're stupid. It's just I didn't prepare my sermons right, or I could have done it all in one day the way I did it today. I learned. But did you learn anything? Men, were you glad I preached this message?
Amen.
Ladies, aren't you glad I preached this message? Yeah, whatever. Okay, hey, tonight at 6:30.